The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate. I'm Tim Calloway. We have a very special guest today that's going to talk to us about buying your land, Erica Benson with Gokce Capital. How are you, Erica?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, before we get into your processes and really what you're looking for and things like that, I got to ask, you know, had you always been in land deals? Were you a young child of five, asking your parents, how do I buy land? Or how did you get into this?
No, I wasn't always into land. I actually have a background in architecture. So When I was a kid, what I really wanted to do was connect people to nature. And my vision at the time as an 18-year-old was to design buildings that were more integrated with nature. I guess at the time I was sort of thinking of hobbit houses, but there are actually a lot of great architectural projects that do this. Sejima's Weekend House is one example that sticks with me from architecture school. But so that's what I was into when I was a kid. And then in architecture school, I fell in love with this nonprofit. It's no longer around, but it was called Architecture for Humanity. They do humanitarian work, so design in humanitarian situations. And I followed that path for a little bit. I went to Nicaragua for a few years. I worked in the northern country and coffee country, doing housing and infrastructure projects. And then I joined New York City's Department of Housing Preservation and Development and worked in affordable housing for a while.
Nice.
And absolutely loved the work. The department was a great place to work. I had wonderful colleagues, great projects. But given that I had been fortunate enough in my 20s to be able to kind of do my own projects, have a little bit of freedom there, felt a little constrained with the 9-to-5, wanted to get into entrepreneurship. And I also wanted to reconnect with the idea of bringing people closer to nature. And I didn't know about land investing before, but when I started looking into different real estate businesses, discovered land investing and thought it was a great way to combine both my interest in bringing affordable real estate to the market with my goal of trying to connect people with nature again.
Nice. I like that. I always say when you wake up one day and realize there's a for others, whether it be nature, other people, or something else, you know, life is a lot better for you, as opposed to a lot of folks we talk to, they're just about chasing the dollar, you know. So I think that's wonderful. So let's talk about who your target market is before I get into really what your process is in buying land. Who is your target market, and you know, how do you find those persons or those people?
Well, people buy land for a lot of different reasons. I think it's a very broad market, also very specialized. But in general, I think our buyers fall into two categories. They're either looking to buy their own home, whether that's they want to go off grid, or they want a vacation cabin, or they are looking for affordable housing. And one of the best ways to do that is through a mobile home. So trying to buy land and finding somewhere where you can put a mobile home on. And then there's the other subset of people who are looking for recreational property. So somewhere where they can hunt or hike or just go camp for the weekend, kind of get out of the city and recreate.
Got you. So let's talk about if I own land and I was looking to sell it. What's that process look like? Once you and I, maybe I find you online or something to that effect, what does the process look like for you making an offer on my land?
Well, there's two ways that we acquire properties. One way is people who reach out to us through our website, and it's pretty simple with us. You just fill out a form with your property's information. We take a look at it. We come up with an initial offer. We send a purchase agreement, we do the rest of our due diligence, and then we usually close in-house sometimes we'll work with the title company, but most of the time we close in-house. That closing process is usually very fast and very simple. But we also send out direct mail. So we send letters to owners of vacant land, just asking, are you interested in selling? If so, you can go to our website and check out our initial offer. If that's of interest to you, fill out this very simple form letting us know that you're interested, and then we'll finish our due diligence. And again, we usually close in-house. So we try to get through the whole process in 2 or 3 weeks.
Now, are you in-house financing as well?
Yes. So, well, on the acquisition side, we self-fund everything.
Okay.
On the sales side, we do offer owner financing as well.
Owner financing. Okay, perfect. Now, here's what I really want to know. Well, let me put it like this. I look at the different areas where land is being bought and sold, and I like to try to get involved. So I'm looking at your listings. How do you decide? How do you vet what areas that you want to invest in? I did notice that you had some accumulations in certain areas. Mm-hmm. So how do you make that determination?
We actually will buy land anywhere. We don't have a super sophisticated process where we try to determine which county to work in for two reasons. One, data on vacant land can be very difficult to find. I have people who do consulting with me, and that's like the number one question I get. And I almost always say, like, you can come up with a sophisticated process where you try to go through sales comps and figure out where you see the most land versus the least amount of land investors. But at the end of the day, the data just isn't usually good enough to make a good determination. But also, I think the most important point is that pretty much anywhere can work with land investing. The key is just to get the pricing right and to make sure you do proper due diligence on each individual property rather than at the county level. So we'll say, we kind of go through states. So we'll say, you know, these next couple of months, we're going to work in Georgia, and then we'll go through county by county. We'll send a couple mailers and we'll just go down through the counties and we'll try out each one.
Gotcha. Are there any states that you stay away from entirely?
No, we haven't. So far, we haven't ruled out any states. The only thing, if you get into land investing, you do want to be careful because each state has slightly different regulations. So for example, in Georgia, you have to use a lawyer to close. You can't self-close. So, you know, there are some regulations whenever you get into a new state that you want to research. But so far, no, we haven't ruled out any.
Right. Oh, that's good, though. That's good. I'm in Florida, and I'm always looking for land. It is very difficult, super difficult, obviously, for a lot of reasons. But if you have any tidbits about Florida, just let me know. But call me, write me, whatever you can do.
Yeah.
So who sells their land? I mean, you know, what is your seller look like? You know, what's their avatar look like? Are they, I'm sure they come from all sorts of backgrounds, shapes and sizes, but ultimately, is there, you know, one thing that seems to be a common thread between all of them?
Not really. I mean, again, land, you have a very diverse group of people who own land and are interested in land, but I think in general, it's someone who either inherited property or bought it years ago. And, you know, they maybe thought that they were going to build on it, but then life happened. They never really did anything with it. They've been holding on to it, paying taxes for years, but they haven't visited it in over a decade. And they don't want to go through the hassle of trying to sell it in the traditional way and kind of just want to get rid of it because they're not using it.
So are these land parcels, are they generally or always with or without a home, or what does that look like? Or are they all raw? I guess that's a question.
Yeah, we only buy vacant land. So we don't buy anything with improvements on it. Okay. But there are some land investors who may buy a property with an old mobile home on it, scrape it and either sell it raw or put a new mobile home on it. But yeah, we don't deal with improvements right now.
Gotcha. So what if, you know, you make, I'm okay, I'm just going to making some assumptions, and I would love for you to correct me if I'm incorrect, of course. You make an offer after doing your due diligence. And let's just say I know you've probably heard this before. I feel like it's worth more, you know, that's just my opinion. I'm like, okay, Is there a process for that, or can you list the land for them if they wanted a little more? Or is it just like, well, no, we can't do a deal. Thank you and goodbye. Or are there other options?
Well, so I'm actually not a licensed real estate agent, so I can't list it for them. But if someone's interested in getting into land investing and they are a real estate agent, that's, you know, something they could consider. Although what I've found with, at least as if you're outside of sort of the really high value parcels of land, like agricultural land, or maybe, you know, the 50, 100 acres, it's not necessarily worth most real estate agents' time because you're selling the property for, you know, maybe 20, 30,000. It's not a very high commission. Right. So that's actually one reason why a lot of people will sell to us is because they have a hard time finding a real estate agent who will help them sell the property themselves.
Yeah. Good point, Erica. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Is there a limit on size for you, or on parcel, or is there a limit or minimum either way?
Not necessarily. We don't usually deal with very small parcels of land. There is a whole strategy for investing in, say, infill lots within cities.
Okay.
That's not something we're doing right now, although we've done it in the past and we may do it in the future. For us, though, it's more about the acquisition price range because we do self-fund our deals. And so one way that we mitigate risk is we try to work with parcels that are, say, in the couple thousand to 20,000 range. Right. And we do a lot of volume. So that way, you know, if we make one bad purchase, it doesn't break the bank.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that at all. How would someone get in touch with you? Is a website the best place? How would someone get in touch with you? And maybe is there a form or a process to getting an offer?
Yeah. So you just go to our website, gokchecapital.com, click Get My Cash Offer, fill out that form, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, perfect. And then you also have a listing of your properties as well, looks like.
Yes. Yeah. So on our website, we have the properties that we're selling. We also, if anyone's interested in land, we have a lot of free resources like our blog, our videos. We do Gokche knowledge videos, and I have a book as well. So anyone who maybe if, like, say you're a real estate agent, but you want to learn a little more about how you would do due diligence on land, we have those resources as well.
Fantastic. Erica, thank you so much for being on the program today. Gokche Capital, if you're looking to sell some land or buy some land, definitely get in touch. Was there anything that you would like to kind of close us out with that maybe we didn't cover today, Erica?
No, not that I can think of. The only thing I would say again is if you are looking to buy land, one thing that I've noticed that a lot of my customers maybe don't realize is that unlike with buying a house, there are a lot more things you need to think about, especially if you want to build on the property. You can either find a real estate agent who specializes in land and who can help you through it, but it may be worth looking into some of the key due diligence items. And again, that's why we provide the free resources, because it's very, like, I heard one story of someone who is trying to get rid of their property because they bought it and immediately got a call from the environmental health department saying, you know, you realize that there are like 100 buried oil tanks beneath this property.
Oh my gosh.
So you're never going to be able to get a building permit unless you clean it all up.
Oh, I can imagine the expense on that. Them just saying, oh. Yeah, you definitely have to do your due diligence and get the right people involved. Very, very important. Erica, thank you so much for being on the program. I look forward to catching up with you over the next 3 to 6, 9 months, see how things have flourished for you.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me.
Have a great weekend coming up.
Hey, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.